Shalom, this is Billy Brimmon, the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast, and today we are offering you a Billy Brimm classic, one that was made years ago. In my ministry, I trust it'll bless you.
Mark chapter 5, and you remember Jairus, who is the ruler of the synagogue, and his daughter is at the point of death. He comes to the master, but the master gets interrupted by the woman with an issue of blood. You remember that? So some time has passed, verse 35 of chapter 5, Mark chapter 5, 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead, why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And of course, we could preach right there all day. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment, and he charged them straitly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Now, we're going to this verse which calls the words he spoke to the little girl. He took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Now, notice that it does not say translated. We're going to translate it for you and tell you what it exactly says. Have you ever been in a service and someone gave a message in tongues and you had an interpretation, but someone else gave an interpretation and it was rather like the gist that you had, but it was not the same words? Well, that's because what we have is an interpretation of tongues, not a direct translation of tongues. Sometimes the tongues is long and the interpretation short. Sometimes the tongues are short and the interpretation long, because it is an interpretation of the meaning, not a direct translation. And I have heard it when it was a direct translation. But we're going to give you, and I wonder if I could get this moved over closer to me. We're going to give you a direct translation of what the Lord spoke. Now, when the Lord was on this earth, he probably spoke Aramaic. Aramaic is a language that's just very, very close to Hebrew. In fact, you can write it with the same letters. They're interchangeable with words. Many of the words are interchangeable, the same. And so, the word that we're going to look at and is going to be really, really important in our lesson today is the second word he said, kumi. But the first word he said to her was talitha. And it was either her name, or he was calling her this like a love term, because it means little lamb. So her name could well have been little lamb. You know, they name people things like Yitzhak, Isaac, that means laughter. So her name might have been Talitha, little lamb. Or he could have just been calling her that as a term of endearment. And then he said to her, kumi, which they did translate, arise. That is the order, the command word for kumi. Now, I want you to turn to your Aleph-Bet, and we're going to see how to spell it. Bless the Lord. Your Aleph-Bet is listed for you in what psalm? Psalm 119. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Aleph-Bet, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Vav, Zayin, Chet, Tet, Yod, Kof, Lamed, Mem, Nun, Samech, Lamed, Mem, Nun, Samech, Ein, Lamed, Mem, Nun, Samech, Ein, Pei, Tzadi, Kuf, Reish, Shin, Tov, Kuf, Reish, Shin, Tov. Now, how would we spell Kumi? The first letter is Kuf. You see the Kuf Resh Shin Tov? So we're going to be writing from right to left. So we have Kuf. And then the final letter is an M. Kum. And that's the way you do in a script M. But it's got a little yud here because it's Kumi. It says, it's a command word, arise. And you can even spell it with a vav in here, standing for the U. Kumi, little lamb, arise. Now that's going to come very important to us. In Hebrew, there are words that are more important and words that are less important. And one of the words that is a most important word in Hebrew is a word that comes from this same root, arise. The only thing it has is a mem in the front of it. And it's makom, we might say. Makom. And it means place. God has place for people. He has place for nations. He has a place for you. And God's place is always one that you have to arise to. You have to arise. You have to go up to your place. And this morning, when I waked up, God was speaking to me about a certain place in the Bible. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 12. Glory, hallelujah. The children of Israel are about to come into their promised land. Deuteronomy 12. These are the statutes and judgments which you shall observe to do in the land which the Lord God of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it all the days that you live upon the earth. You shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which you possess serve their gods upon the high mountains and upon the hills and upon every green tree. Now I want you to go back with me, hold your place right there and go back with me to Genesis 15. You remember that we talked the other night about when God said, I'm giving you this land, and Abraham said, how shall I know I can possess it? And he said, go get a big cow. Go get a heifer, 3 years old. Go get a she-goat, go get a ram. Cut them down the backbone. And then God came that night and he walked between those and he said, I have given you this land. Now, another thing that happened that night, which we skipped over when we read this, but let's look at it. Now we come to Genesis 15. And Abraham did exactly what God said. He got the animals, verse 9, 10, and 11. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo and horror, a great darkness fell upon him. And he, God said unto Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. He's foretelling their captivity, when they were into Egypt. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. God judges nations. And afterward shall they come out, the children of Israel, with great substance, come out of Egypt. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Abraham's in the land. He's telling him that your children are going to go down to a land that's not theirs. They went down to Egypt. And they're going to stay there until the iniquity of the Amorites in the land gets full. God has already said the wages of sin is death. That's already decreed. But when men persist in sin and persist in sin, then it'll eventually bring them death. It's like AIDS. God told us, read Romans chapter 2. God told us about the danger. And it wasn't as if just one day God said, AIDS is going to be the result of this. He already had told us. And then when men persist on it and the sin grows and boils and takes on a life of its own, it will eventually produce these things upon the earth. When Adam was here on earth, he was perfect. But when sin came, it still took him 940 years to die. But as mankind progressed from that down till now, it doesn't take men nearly so long to die. So sin brings upon itself judgment. And where we're living right now, we're living in a time when a lot of the things that were hidden are going to be revealed. And no one is going to be able to blame God on the day of judgment. No one. And the things, a lot of the things that we're, that are coming out now, and we're so shocked by them, we're shocked by them, but they're just being uncovered. Now, chapter 12, they're coming into the land. The sin of the Amorites has gotten full, but they're coming in here, and I'm telling you, if you want to read about the sins, if you want to read about horrible sins, you could go to history books, and you could read about the Canaanites. And how they offered up. I've been to the altars where they offered up children upon the altars, and they worshipped with the sexual ways. Horrid, horrid, horrid. And so God gave their land when the Amorite sin was full into the children of Israel. It was theirs from the beginning, but now the sins are full and they're coming in. Deuteronomy 12. These are the statutes and judgments which you shall observe to do in the land. Verse 2. You shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which you shall possess serve their gods, upon the high mountains and upon the hills and under every green tree. And you shall overthrow their altars and break their pillars and burn their groves with fire. And you shall hew down the graven images of their gods and destroy the names of them out of that place. You shall not do so unto Jehovah your God. See, they worship under every green tree over there. They got an altar everywhere. You shall not do so unto Jehovah your God, but unto the place. This word, makom. And actually it's called in Hebrew, ha, because it's the makom. Ha makom. The place. Now this the place is a particular place, and it's the hottest spot of the whole earth today. And it's going to be the site of the final war of the age.
Shalom, this is Billy Brim. I hope you enjoyed the classic that you heard today. Call us at 1-800-972-3447 if you would like to have a copy of it on CD. Shalom, shalom.